This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. Love spending this time with you Monday through Saturday. Saturday is always our best of. That's Jeff Burson's pick. He goes back through the week, thinks, this was a pretty good show, and he puts it up there on Saturday for you. We love, love, love having you with us through this time. Always inviting you to give us a call here. That way we can have holy conversation together and see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for us. Let me give you the number to use. If you are in North America, it's a toll-free number for you, and that's always a good deal. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here as we do have that holy conversation together. Do want to remind you that you can also be with us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We invite you to get on out there. There's a chat feature on those, and you can just put your question, your comment, your insight, your word of encouragement, your inspiration right in there. And Jeff Burson runs out there and he gets it and he picks it on up and puts it on the board. Ryan Penny's on the phones today. Be sure to say howdy, hey to Ryan. He loves when you acknowledge the fact that he's sitting there at your service. So we certainly do invite you to do that. For those of you that are out there on EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, you can see that once again, I have a guest sitting at right here in the studios in Birmingham, Alabama. And I've got my husband, Jack Williams, next to me. Good morning, darling.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm dandy. What about you?
Great. I feel like it's kind of like back by popular demand, and I don't know if I've ever been popular demand before. I'm pretty excited.
Well, I'm excited, too, because we received so many phone calls yesterday. For those of you that were not with us yesterday, we did a show on Valentine's Day talking about marriage, and we received so many calls we couldn't get to them, right? And
as a matter of fact, if you'll call in at 888, is that what it is?
No.
833-288, it's not like I give this out every day, 833-288. EWTN 833-288-3986. If you'll tell Ryan Penny, our call screener, that you were on hold at the end of the show yesterday, then we'll see to it that we get to you first.
Yeah, right away. Yeah. Well, you just made me feel really good. You know that? Yeah. Because sometimes I go like 800 and then it's, oh, no, no, it's not. So, yeah. You know, like if the general manager of EWTN can follow up on the phone number, I don't feel so
it's
bad
behind
all of
me
a sudden.
Now. I told Jeff Burson yesterday, I said, normally I'm sitting in your chair and he makes me nervous when he's behind me. So,
yeah, well, there you go. I don't know. He shouldn't. There's Jeff. He's right there. Anyway, all of that being said, friends, we look forward to being with you. So do give us a call. Say hi to Ryan. Get out there to social media. That's a dandy thing to do, too. Let me give you a number to use if you're not in North America. It is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's 1-205-271-2985. Also available to you via text. Text EWTN to 55000. EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response and then go ahead and put your question, comment, insight, inspiration there along with your name and where you're calling from. And we'll get to that too. We have exciting news. We shared it yesterday. Going to share it again. I'm going to keep sharing it all the way up until we leave. And that is that Jack and I are going on pilgrimage to Lourdes and to Paris and to Lisieux. And we're very much looking forward to it. It was what do I want to say? It was one of those decisions that was impressed upon us to do. And so we just gave fiat to it. We just said, yes, we're going to do this thing. There's a grace in store for us there. And we're going to take off together. And we want you to come with us. Why not? Right? So we've got the information out there on Women of Grace's website. Go to womenofgrace.com. And as soon as you get out there, right on the slideshow, what you're going to see is a banner ad for it. Actually, it's not a banner ad. It's in the slideshow. It's number one in the slideshow. And that's a hyperlink. And if you click on that, you're going to hear me giving you a very special invitation to come and join us. So we really, really would love for you to come. April 12th is when we're going. I know it's not a whole lot of front end time. But, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit prevails. So we want you, if you're feeling a little bit of inspiration in your heart, a little prompting of the Holy Spirit, get out there, check it out, and hopefully join us because it's going to be special. We're taking special intentions with us to Lourdes, obviously. But, you know, in Paris, too, we're going to go to the Shrine of the Miraculous Medal. Can't wait to do that. And then Lisieux. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to go to where St. Thérèse of Lisieux was born and raised and where she lived her life? And, oh, my goodness sakes, I just know it's going to be filled with blessings. What do you think, Jack?
I think it's going to be awesome. Yeah, I'm very excited. And we actually have kind of a double blessing now because we watched a documentary last night that Peter Jackson has done on World War One.
Yeah, that's what we about did for Valentine's
about,
Day.
Yeah, that's what we did for Battle. And we watched, so on Valentine's Day, we watched battle footage from Belgium and France.
Yeah, because that's loving.
Hey, you were more into it than I was.
One of us fell asleep. It was not me. I watched the whole thing, and I got to tell you what, it was fascinating to me. And you know, my grandfather served in the First World War, and he was in France. And even though these were not American troops that were featured in the film, they were British troops. The fact of the matter is, you know, he was in the same situation that these young fellows were in, and this footage was really quite amazing. And then what Peter Jackson did is he used all of the technology we have available today to move this footage into a 21st century, production. At the end of it, after the credits, and if you go to see it, you got to wait until all of the credits roll, because at the very end of it, there's Peter Jackson, and he takes you basically into the process of how they made this footage come to life for us in the 21st century, slowed down the speed, just did incredible things, colorized it, and he goes into how they colorized it and what they did to make it so very, very accurate and authentic, even with the sounds. Didn't you find that fascinating?
It was amazing. It was as good as the rest of the movie, I think, just him explaining how they did everything. But it's, we especially here in America, we have, to a large degree, lost a lot of the patriotism that made America great.
Yes.
And we need, I think, to constantly be reminded of the price that was paid for the lifestyle that we live.
Yeah. There's no question about that. And of course, war is a horrible thing, and no one wants war. And it's very difficult to watch in some scenes, so you have to know that. I wouldn't take children to see it necessarily because there is a lot of carnage and we're not protected from it. The fact of the matter is, however, that it does show you that people were willing to give their lives for principles that are greater than we are, because the principles are eternal truths. And I just have to say one thing about that, you know, as you share that, Jack, we do owe our service people more gratitude than we could muster up. We should always be about the business. When I see anybody in military uniform, and if it isn't an awkward thing to do, I thank them for their service and tell them how much I appreciate that. And we would do well to give our affirmation to the sacrifice they're making. Well, there's the music, which means that we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back with you. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday, hoping that you'll join us right here, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. Looking forward to hearing from you after the break, right here with Jack Williams, my husband. We're going to be talking about marriage when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. We're very happy to be with you today. So many, many marvelous ways in which we can come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, Jesus, for the gift of these airwaves. We invite you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 888-298-3986. That's the way you can join us live right here on Women of Grace Live. I've got Jack Williams, my husband, with me in studio today to continue the discussions that we began yesterday. We had so many of you that called, and we had so many of you that were sending messages to us via YouTube and via Facebook about the topic, and we were talking about marriage, and we thought we would pick up with that again today simply because it seemed to strike a chord with so many of you, as well as for the sake of the great sacrament that God has given to us. So we do invite you to call us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ryan Penny on the phones out there for you in social media land is EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there to get your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement up. Jeff Burson will go out and get that and make that happen for you. So let's pick up with that. But before we do, I certainly want to encourage you Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That's Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. It is Scripture and Tradition with Father Mitch Pacwa. So we want you to tune in 1 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday afternoons, Scripture and Tradition with Father Mitch Pacwa. You know, you can't do better than Father Mitch on Scripture and Tradition. I just got to say, the man is brilliant, and what a scholar he is. And we gain such insight into the Word of God as a result of what he presents to us.
You know, we were talking about the importance in the documentary that we watched, and we were talking about that we often don't show the appreciation to those who have fought for the freedom that we enjoyed. And, you know, we are involved in a battle, and we are involved in a war for the hearts and souls of men.
That's right.
Every day here.
We are.
And the battleground is our society and our culture, and the key target for the enemy is the family. And I want to read a quote that struck a chord with me. This was in William Bennett's book. He cited this quote, The Book of Man, which I would encourage any of the men that are listening to pick up a copy of that and read it. But it's a quote from John Stuart Mill, who was a 19th century English philosopher. And he said, "War is an ugly thing, but not the ugliest of things. The decayed and degraded state of moral and patriotic feeling, which thinks that nothing is worth a war, is much worse." And he says, "A man who has nothing which he is willing to fight for, nothing which he cares more about than he does his own personal safety, is a miserable creature who has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men than himself."
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's so much truth that's wrapped up in that statement. It's obvious to me why that is a statement that's resonated with you, Jack, and why it's one that you like to share with others. The fact of the matter is, you know, William Bennett wrote that book, another book that was written by Judge Bork, Robert Bork, Slouching Toward Gomorrah. You know, I think that those two tied together really express where we are today, especially with masculinity. Things have been very feminized in our culture today. And I think a lot of the reason for that is because women have basically slipped away from their gift of authentic femininity, and nature abhors a vacuum, and so it fills it in with a perversion. And I think that that's what we see so much of. So we've got this perverted notion of how it is that men should be, and it's the feminization of the masculine. And what we see, I think, unfortunately, among a lot of our young people today is a reluctance to engage in anything that requires an effort towards an ideal. And that's what I think that quote by John Stuart Mill is expressing there. And it was encouraging, and I'm eager to get to the phone lines, and we're inviting you to call us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please give us a call or send your messages into us via EWTN Radio YouTube or EWTN Radio's Facebook opportunities for you there. But, you know, we went out, I was asked to speak at a Theology on Tap here in town Tuesday night, I think it was, and you came with me. And it was a talk about, you know, what is happening in the state of our world today, not only from, you know, the temporal perspective, but from the eternal perspective, from heaven's view. And we were talking about Our Lady, and I am so absolutely convinced that Our Lady and her spouse, the Holy Spirit, are raising up an army, a militia. We are the church militant, a militia to fight against the serpents of our day and time. And our Blessed Lady wants to empower us through the gifts that she dispenses upon us by way of God's own determination that she should be the mediatrix of all graces that come to us by the Holy Spirit. She wants to raise us up to smite the heads of the serpent in our day and time, not using the weaponry of man, but using the weaponry of the Spirit. And after the talk was over, I'm only sharing this for one reason. Young lady came up and she said to me, she said, Janet, she says, yeah, that was amazing. I've never heard of what it was that you were talking about. And I said, well, what was it that amazed you the most? She says, well, she says, you've just given me such a desire to go out there and to do what it is that we're called to do by way of our baptismal promises. And so what she was saying to me was that the whole concept of being a soldier for Christ was new to her, and it roused her. And this is the message we've got to bring to our young people, that there is that we have been called by God. I talk about this all of the time. You all know that we have been called by God for this moment. This moment's been entrusted to us. He's giving us everything that we need to move forward. And so this quote once again inspires us towards an ideal. Do we have an ideal? Do we understand that there are things that are greater than our own self-pleasure, our own narcissism?
You know, and when we look at the way the military handles battle, you know, when men enlist in the military, mm-hmm. you know, what do? They're broken into small units, and they're trained in what they ought to do.
Exactly.
Right? How do we start this battle against the evil one for the hearts and souls of those in our culture today is we break into our small groups, our families. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Get a handle on that, mm-hmm. and that will carry forth to the entire company. And then we'll have them on the run.
That's exactly right.
Instantaneously.
Yep. Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I always like to remind parents, you know, that is such a good, you know, passage from Proverbs. Note the last part. When he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that he might not stray, but when he's old, he's going to come back to it, and that's the job. So we make our family strong. Well, let's go to the phone lines, Jack. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, we've got lots of Facebook out there, too, and YouTube. We've got Harry with us. He's calling us from Gaithersburg, Maryland today. Guadalupe Radio Network is the way that he's with us. How you doing, Harry?
Good, Jeanette. I have a programming suggestion for you.
Okay.
I think you ought to hire that guy, Jack, next to you for one day a week at least to be on the radio with you.
You know,
us men out here, you know, love listening to you because you are such a warrior and such a battle warrior. But to hear your husband on the radio, too, with you guys are a great team. And, you know, as we know, Jeanette, real men listen to women of grace. So I think you ought to consider, you know, Jack and Jeanette. I mean, you know, at least one day a week because you guys rock.
Well, thank you so much, Harry. I kind of like the idea myself, but I'm going to have to talk to the general manager of EWTN Radio and see what he thinks about that.
He's pretty busy.
He's pretty busy.
Two thumbs up from me and my wife. My wife and I both enjoyed, we were listening separate. I was at work, but we both last night said, man, they were really good together yesterday. So that's my two cents, and I just want to thank you both for your witness. And it really encourages so many of us out here who are involved in the battle. So thank you so much.
Thank you for the kind words, Harry.
Yeah, we sure do appreciate it. And thank you for the suggestion. And keep listening. And I'm happy that both you and your wife listen because, you know, then you can come home and talk about different things that you hear on EWTN Radio. And that is very good for married life. It really, really is to have holy conversation together as husbands and wives. Thanks, Harry.
Thanks so much. God bless.
God bless you, too. So anyway, you know, it's fascinating, I think, when you consider the fact that this time has been entrusted to us. And as Harry is saying, you know, we do need witnesses, and each one of us is called to be a witness. That's the reality of life. That's why God's created you. That's why you are baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Father. You know, you are there because God needs you at this moment in time. It isn't because he couldn't do it it himself. It's because he desires to incorporate us into this great, great opportunity for the salvation of the day and time in which we live. We have Anna with us. We're going to invite you to give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jack and I available for you today. How are you doing, Anna, in Miami, listening via Facebook?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're delighted you're with us. So what's going on with you today?
So right when I tuned in, you were talking about Mary crushing the head of the serpent. And interestingly enough, yesterday I had the best Valentine's Day ever because I consecrated myself to Our Lady through enrollment of the Brown Scapular.
Wonderful.
And talking about God's military, I feel that I'm now wearing my uniform for God by consecrating myself to the scapular.
Well, I'll tell you what, Anna, I think that you are right on, sweetheart. And I got to tell you, I've got chills everywhere. And you absolutely understand what that brown scapular means. I can tell that by what you're saying. And so very frequently we don't understand that when we put the scapular on our body, we are really suiting us up for the battle that Our Lady has been engaged in from the moment of the conception of our Lord Jesus Christ, prophesied by Father God himself in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmities between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. And that battle rages. And that scapular, number one, is a uniform. It says that we have suited up, but it's also something else. It means that we are putting on the garment of Our Lady, meaning that we are putting our, we are taking on the spirituality of our Blessed Lady. We are asking her for her protection, her guidance. We're asking her for her tutelage. And we're saying that by putting on this scapular, spiritually, I am saying that I stand under the banner of Our Blessed Lady, and I walk in her presence, and I pray that her presence walks in me. And that is the whole purpose of it. It's not just a devotion. These are the things I try to explain. You know, when it comes to these consecrations to Our Blessed Mother, we're entering into a very, very serious spiritual reality, and we do well to acknowledge that, right?
Yes, and when I called the church so that the priest could do the enrollment, I spoke to Sister Carmen. She's the one in charge of the cathedral. She said, how did you prepare? I said, I did a 33-day consecration based on St. Louis de Montfort's teachings, and that's how I prepared. So I do encourage everyone out there as well, if they haven't heard of the 33-day consecration, to look into it.
Well, I'm glad, Anna. And, you know, Jack and I renewed our consecrations during our nuptial mass. And it was a beautiful moment for us. And we, as a couple, renew that each day. We do a morning offering together, and we renew that each day. And I think, I don't know if you're a married woman or not, but if so, if you can help your husband to come along, that would be a beautiful, beautiful thing. Anchoring your marriage in the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. I can't think of a better way to go.
I will give you more chills, Johnette. Sorry to interrupt you. I will give you more chills. My husband and I were married on December 12th, which is the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it wasn't because we chose that date. It was just because things happened. There was nothing available in August and nothing available in October. Then when the priest opened the book to see if the church was available, it was available on December 12th. And so we consecrated and dedicated our marriage to Our Lady and thus got married on that day.
Wow, that is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. It makes me so happy. And I just want to say, when it comes to the consecration, I am a Louisite. I promote the de Montfort consecration. So beautiful story to share with us, Anna. Just wonderful. Jack,
thank
you want to comment?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, precious.
Well, that's great. It's a wonderful testimony. It's a story that they should share often with people that they come in contact with. And, you know, we really wove all of our wedding plans around making it some sort of a Marian opportunity.
Yeah, we really did. We had the missionary image of Our Lady of Guadalupe there too. These opportunities are meant for ourselves, obviously, but they're meant for everyone. They're meant to be a sign. They're meant to be a witness. And may I say, a sign of contradiction in our day and time, when it is filled with so much deception and filled with so much confusion. And we have to shine out like those lights In the darkness today. We've got something here, and let me give you the number again, friends. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have got a message here, and the message is from, let me scroll up here, I think it's Athena. She says, my husband defines himself as Christian, but is not actively practicing any form of the teachings. I think he's also a Freemason, but out of a need to make role models and community with like-minded, hardworking people, because I can't read all of this.
Yeah, she basically says, as you said, my husband himself identifies himself as a Christian, but is not actively practicing any form of his faith. He is also part of the Freemasons, but out of need of male role models and community with like-minded, hardworking people, because he didn't have that. He lacks male role models and the like, because he didn't have that when he was growing up.
Okay. Well, this is the unfortunate reality. A lot of young boys today don't have those role models, and they grow up to be men who were not shaped by other men, because we have a situation here in our country, and I'm pretty certain it pervades Western civilization, where children are growing up in fatherless homes, and fathers are meant to raise their sons as men, according to the mind and heart of God. I'm concerned about the Freemason relationship here.
Yeah, there's nothing, you know, you don't want to be harsh with folks, but there's nothing about Freemasonry that is compatible with the Catholic faith. In fact, it was a movement that rose out of an anti-Catholic ethos. Mm-hmm. So really, there's no the fact of the matter is, there's just no room for that.
Right.
In a Catholic life.
And frankly, Athena, I want to say that this is probably a destructive reality towards his ability to practice any faith, because Freemasonry itself becomes the religion. So it's a pretty dangerous thing. I understand the need for role models. I would suggest that if he would be open at least to coming to the Catholic Church, Knights of Columbus, something like that would be such a great grace for him and a great grace for you. You hear that music? Going to a break. We're going to come right back on the other side of it. Stay with us today, right here on Women of Grace Live. I'm Janet Williams with Jack Williams today.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, joined today by my husband, Jack Williams. And we're talking about marriage. We're talking about the church militant. We're talking about all kinds of things. As you know, right here on Women of Grace Live, you usually set the topic for us. We want to give you the number again, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have holy conversation with you. I do want to remind you that the Catholic News Agency is available for you with great headlines every day. There's a couple of headlines up there today that I think are stories that we should all read. Eucharist is desecrated, statues smashed, and series of French church attacks. Something for us to be aware of, praying about. Another sign of the disrespect and the dishonor that we see towards anything godly in our day and time. The Eucharist just touches us very deeply when it is desecrated, and when we see that people do not understand that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to get out there and be aware of what's happening. Otherwise, we don't know how to pray to God. We don't know which supplications to offer to Him. And since we live as the mystical body of Christ, everything that happens to one part of the body affects all of us in some way. So make it a daily routine to get out there to the Catholic News Agency and to read the info. It's all online for you there. CNA.com.org.
CatholicNewsAgency.com.
There you go. See? You know, Jack, you are so good at all of these details. I just really love that. All righty, you ready for the phone lines again?
Well, actually, you know what? We had a caller who couldn't hold on the line that had a question that I was intrigued by. It's Richard in Brookings, South Dakota, who's listening to our wonderful affiliate Real Presence Radio. You're going to be in Real Presence Radio land in Fargo, North Dakota.
I am leaving
Monday.
Sunday. Yeah. I'm going to be there Monday.
But he says, Have Jack and Johnette had their first fight yet?
You answer that, Jack.
Second, third, and fourth.
Have we fought, though? You know, have we really
we've
fought?
Had,
we've
sure.
had discussions.
Oh, sure we have.
Have
yeah.
we?
Yeah, we've had some. You know, the thing to remember, Richard, and really anybody who's listening, is, you know, it is impossible for us to walk through this life. As I knock stuff off of the table here. It is impossible for us to walk through this life without being wounded.
That's right.
You can't go through without casualties. And we all enter every relationship that we enter with certain wounds. And that's where the disagreements come from.
That's right.
When one or both, which has been the case, several times, really, since we've been together, where rather than acting out of the charity of our Lord, we act out of one of those wounds.
Right.
And we've had that happen on any number of occasions. And having talked about that reality up front, it makes those periods of discontent workable and much shorter than they otherwise would be.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll work back. I'll revert back to, you know, I will generally, this has kind of been my method of operation for the majority of my life is that, you know, if I feel that you have wronged me, then I will punish you by ignoring you. But I find that I can't maintain that very long. And I think that's basically because of the foundation that we laid from the very beginning
right.
in our relationship. And it doesn't mean that I don't act out of those wounds and go back to those tendencies from time to time in certain situations. But, you know, my willingness to cooperate with His grace to get out of it is much more easy and comes quicker than it did had we not really had these sort of discussions beforehand.
Just a couple of things I'd like to comment on that. Just a couple of things. I think, you know, Jack and I were adults, you know, mature adults at the time that we got married. And we had lived through married life before with other individuals, obviously, my deceased husband, Anthony, and Jack's deceased wife, Susie. And one of the things that we didn't want to do was to bring any kind of dysfunctional kinds styles of relating into this relationship. And I knew the areas in my own life where I probably made poor choices in my past marriage by not being upfront enough and by not speaking plainly enough when things bothered me or troubled me. And so, and Jack had his own set of circumstances, and he just expressed an aspect of that. So we made a decision we weren't going to do that, and we talked about these things. You know, we really did. We chatted about all of these things. And as you so rightly say, Jack, you know, these wounds of the heart, some of the wounds of the heart that are so very, very deep are long-term. You know, and I'm thoroughly convinced some of them will only be worked out in purgatory because we don't have enough time to allow God's grace to marinate that part of our heart and to learn how to cooperate with that grace. And it's an ongoing thing. Now, one of the things that I think has been very helpful, and I'm remembering some of those moments that we've had. And the reason why I don't call them fights is because, you know, there's not a lot of yelling and screaming. That isn't the way we function. So in the past, that was the way. That was kind of the modus operandi.
Let me pull back the curtain a little bit. You were a door slammer.
Jack, thank you for sharing that with everybody listening. Yeah, I think I watched one too many Joan Crawford movies growing up, you know? And it was like, you know, you had to have an exclamation point behind whatever was going on, and boom, I would smack doors. I got trapped in the bathroom once for 4 hours, but we'll talk about that another day. But you know, it was very dysfunctional, and it was also some behavior that had been modeled for me in the context of my own nuclear family. All of that being said, you know, I worked on this for many, many years. And one of the beautiful things is when you have this self-knowledge and you know this wound exists and you have the introspection to be able to see how it is that you've responded to that wound in negative ways in the past, you then have a choice. right? You can act out of that wound or not act out of that wound. Now, sometimes because it's become so habitual, you will start to act out of that wound, right? But you'll catch yourself. And one of the things that we've done, why it's never gotten to, you know, I would never scream at you anyway, but the fact, although, well, no, so, but the fact of the matter is, you know, you catch yourself. And you realize you're stewing. I remember one night I said, I just got to go for a walk for a few minutes here. You know, remember that night? I just got to go for a little walk, because I realized I was going to act in a way that I would later regret. And so I went for a walk, hold on, came back, and I said, I want to tell you what happened here, and it troubled me so deeply, and I want to tell you why. And we talked it out. And I think that that's a good way to go about it. So sometimes we start off, we've got to catch ourselves, and we've got to move back. I've really never felt ignored by you. You get quiet. Maybe that's what you mean there.
That's kind of.
But then, see, I'm like a little terrier. I just won't leave you alone until we get it all worked out. So that's an interesting question, right? So let's go to Claudia. She's in Denver, Colorado. Oh, my goodness, Jack. I didn't know that this was going to be, you know, like, you know, truth and tell. Catholic Radio Network is the way. Claudia is with us. Hi, Claudia. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call and for doing such a great job. You were touching a subject that is crucial to me, you know, in this time of my life, and I feel that as a Catholic, I need to be like a soldier. Particularly in Colorado, we are having a lot of issues, terrible issues, and bills that are trying to, one bill trying to be approved to do sex education between quotation marks for our children in public schools. It's very delicate because it's supported by Planned Parenthood. So we, you know what is the direction that we are taking, and it seems like we really need to be soldiers. It's time to start to go out and then do something for our children. So I'm looking for ideas on how can we reach out to the families, because I feel that it's a little bit of education and hearing, you know, like your radio station, to hear, you know, all of you that are doing a good job talking about how we should be living a more godly life. But how to do this in a way that we reach out to massively to all the families, the parents? What would be the ideas that you have about that?
Well, let me give you one suggestion, and this is a suggestion that came from Father John Paul Mary Zeller. We were at the Cathedral of St. Paul over the weekend for Mass on a vigil Mass Saturday night, and he preached about something that he's involved in, and it's called Teams of Our Lady. And this is where married couples come together on a monthly basis, and they share their married lives as a little community there, in the sense that they talk about what went well that month in their marriage, you know, areas where they were struggling, and they pray for each other. It's beautiful. They have a meal together. Father John Paul didn't start this group in the sense of the whole organization or apostolate of Teams of Our Lady. They go on everywhere. And you could probably, Claudia, check to see if there's one in your area. If not, then I would encourage you to do so. Because the foundation of a family is the mother and the father. And so the mother and the father's relationship has to be strong, and they have to be able to have those conversations that are necessary about the children and come to an accord in those areas. And it seems as though when our Blessed Lady and our Lord are involved in a marriage, that marriage moves very beautifully. The model of the Holy Family, St. Joseph, you know, being this tremendous patron and protector of family life, very important. So we start in those ways where Jack was talking about, you know, when you have an army, they're broken down into small groups, and that small group is your family first and foremost. But additionally, we, as the mystical body of Christ, form small groups to encourage us and strengthen us as we set out into the battlefield of life. So I would do that. I would band together with people of like mind who see a like need and move forward in enriching that which is already your vocation. And of course, that vocation is to married life and to being a parent. Then I would say, you know, we don't keep our eyes single focused on you know, our situation, we do look out to the world more broadly, and we can then begin to ask our Lord, you know, how do you want me to have an impact? In what way? Most of the time, it's just in the natural circumstances and situations that develop. And it sounds like a slow process. But, you know, the thing of it is, when grace is involved, there's a tremendous amount of power and a tremendous ability for change and transformation that far exceeds natural time. So anything that we do, a smile to somebody, a kind act, a kind word, but I think it begins by this firming up our own foundation, getting our unit going in the way in which it should go, and that begins with the spouses, the husband and the wife.
You know, when Susie and I lived in Des Moines, one thing that we had there was we had a Friday night family rosary. Mm-hmm. And it was just a couple of families that had originally gotten together, and everybody would bring a snack or something to share, and they would invite people to come to this. And over the years, it grew into, you know, probably 50 families that were involved, and you would have anywhere from 30 to 40 on any given Friday night mm-hmm. that would show up for this, and that's a wonderful team. But I think the mistake sometimes we make is that, you know, we will get righteously indignant about something, and then we will formulate this abstract plan in our mind of how we're going to change the world. Mm-hmm. And then it gets lost because it's a much bigger undertaking than any one person could even begin to try to take. Mm-hmm. So I think it's more important that we take bite-sized pieces that we can actually execute something right. like that, something like becoming a member of the Teams of Our Lady. It can be even simpler than that. Make a resolution that you're going to say the rosary at 7 p.m. every night in your house, and whoever is in your house at 7 p.m. is going to say the rosary.
That's right. Make sure everybody stays there at 7 p.m. Don't let the kids leave.
You know, if they have friends over or if they have any, you know, anything like that. There are all kinds of little things that are executable and measurable that you can do mm-hmm. that will radiate beyond, you know, when that stone goes in the water, if a stone's only aware of its little entry point in the water, if a stone's not aware of the ripples that go out to the rest of the entire pond.
Right.
So,
but that's what happens. Yeah. Our prayer goes into the water of divine mercy, and that divine mercy ripples out and changes the world. Also, one other thing, Claudia, you mentioned this whole business about sex education. And you do, as a parent, have rights, and it's important for you to execute those rights. Your children don't need to be in that class. Anything that's being taught by Planned Parenthood, I would absolutely encourage parents to stay away from. And I would suggest that if you have other parents that are like-minded with regard to this, that you band together as a little unit and you prevail upon that school district and make your presence known and inform them as to what goes on there, and additionally make certain that your children are protected from it. Thank you for your call, Claudia. We're going to get off to Michael. He is in Hypoluxo, Florida, Sirius XM 130. Hi, Michael. You there, Michael? I don't know. We lost Michael. We're going to go on to Frank. He's in Auburn, New York. Station of the Cross Radio is the way. He is listening to us today. How are you, Frank?
Good. Thank you for having me on your line.
Oh, you're so welcome. So what's going on with you?
Well, we have a group of men that got together, and we're tired of seeing many of the negative things happening in the Catholic Church, especially in the hierarchy. And so we got together and started a men's group, and we call ourselves the Knights of the Sacred Heart.
Ooh.
And we're a prayer group, and we're a Bible study group.
Wow.
So we're a small group that every Monday night we read a Bible passage from the Sunday that's coming forward, gospel reading. And then we each take turns and asking ourselves, you know, what does this mean to me? What's the reading say to me?
Yes.
And we ask four questions, and the last question is, what are we going to do about what we've just read?
Yay!
And that's the militant part. So we're trying to evangelize. We're trying to make other small groups like this, whether men, women, or a combination of men and women, trying to reproduce ourselves around, you know, Central New York. And so we've been doing things like talks. I did a talk on the Shroud of Turin, and that attracted another couple of interested people who, once they joined up, they realized that what we are is a prayer group, Bible study group. So it turns, I mean, you got to be both public and you have to do something privately in a the new evangelization is re-catechizing the people that haven't been catechized.
That's right. It's catechizing them for the first time, really.
Right. That's exactly.
Well,
so our little group has been doing, I think, a lot of good. It's been only 2 months in existence, but there's a lot of good coming out of the people that do join us, and we're trying to grow that by multiplying these groups around the area. And so the reason we do that is because we need more of these small groups of people that can restart the Catholic faith right at the ground bottom, right in the family.
That's exactly right.
Most of us are married, so we pray with our wives, and at the same time we pray with in groups. My wife goes to a morning Mass and then prays the rosary after morning Mass, and then we pray the rosary again at night. So with the tag that you're talking about, you know, wearing the scapular, praying the rosary, meeting with other people, whether it's all men, all women, or a mixture, and go forward with that, try to make that publicly known that you could do this. It's easy to do. Have a night together with a group of friends or family and read the Bible and pray a little bit, and it's not hard to do, but just people have to see it and have to be aware of it and have to come to acknowledge that they need it.
You know, Frank, I want to commend you on that and really affirm you in this effort, and I just love the fact that it's the Knights of the Sacred Heart. I think that that's absolutely the devotion that is necessary for us in this our day and time, coupled with, I would always say, the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady, the two hearts. And I really want to commend you also on the way in which you do your Bible reading and your Bible study and your Bible praying, because you're bringing into focus an ancient way of prayer, which is called Lectio Divina, holy reading. And you've outlined for us, whether you're aware of it or not, the key steps in that process, which is to read it, to ask, what is God saying to me through this, to acknowledge what he's saying, and then to make a resolution about what he's saying. And that's exactly the way that you talk about formulating it. I think it's also lovely that you're doing some studies that have to do with very important gifts that we have in the church, the one being the shroud. And there's a lot of good studies out there that you can use. We're actually formulating a study on the shroud right now through Women of Grace. More to come on that in the near future. But when we are willing to place time into our schedule for these kinds of gatherings, we see a tremendous effect, not only just in our lives, but in lives around us. There is an influence, a holy influence, that goes out from that, radiates out from that. It's a grace-filled coming together that yields a grace that extends beyond those persons that are there in that room making this effort. And that's what it requires today, doesn't it, Frank? Doesn't it, Jack? Because you've got to make room for such moments in your life. Otherwise, they'll be crowded out by all kinds of other things.
It's true. And we can get busy, and we all do it. And I accuse you of doing this sometimes, that you get so mm-hmm. many things going in your head that you don't end up acting on any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important that you focus in on something like Frank and his group have done. And that's where you really see results.
Yep, that's absolutely right, Frank. So we want to encourage you in that effort. It's a beautiful, beautiful effort. And thank you for sharing it with us today. Thank you for your call, too. We have Dave out there, Jack, on YouTube. And Dave said, is there a difference between the 33-day Morning Glory consecration versus the St. Louis de Montfort consecration? Well, Dave, the short answer to that is yes. Father Michael Gately has given us a beautiful way to introduce us to consecration to Jesus through Mary. And so I look at the 33-day Morning Glory as a means by which we can begin to explore this idea of giving ourselves to Our Lady. He offers opportunity for that consecration in his book. The Louis de Montfort consecration, however, is a very deep spirituality, and that's the way Louis presents it. He helps for us to understand that when we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, we are entering into the work of Our Blessed Lady that was entrusted to her, intended for her from before the very foundations of the world began. And that is this whole effort to win the day for Christ Jesus, to smite the head of the serpent, to give fiat to the coming of Christ within the wombs of our heart, that in the ways in which God leads us, we give birth to Him in our actions and through our actions in a type of mystical way. So in St. Louis' consecration, he reminds us that in this our day and time, Our Lady is raising up a militia. He talks about the saints of the latter day, and we get a great, great insight through that consecration. So I always tell people, if you've done 33 days, you know, commend you, extol you, happy for you, wonderful job. Now go on to Louis. And that's where I like to take them.
And someone also wanted to know what the name of the documentary we were referring to is, and it's They Shall Not Grow Old.
They Shall Not Grow Old, out there for you. Well, you hear that music, and already we're at the end of the program, and it's been great being with you today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Jack, for being my guest.
My joy.
Thank you very much, friends. We're going to be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, or no, yes, for our best of tomorrow, Saturday. Bye-bye.